Hello, and welcome to the Sky U Podcast by the Daily Gopher. I'm Chris, Go AU Fur. With me this week is Andy, Gopher Guy 05.
Hello. I don't know what the hell that was.
I don't know either, but let's turn it over to Blake, Iowa Gopher.
This is me waking up when September ends.
All right, so this has been a good news, bad news day for most Minnesota fans. Not the ones who cheer for the Indians, but the rest of us.
Not yet. Let's not put the cart in front of the horse just yet. It could be a bad day for me as well.
So if you're a Twins fan, let's just move along from that and instead turn to the return of Rashad Bateman, who was officially approved by the NCAA for a waiver to return to college football. If you recall, Bateman, right before the Big Ten canceled their season, Bateman withdrew for COVID reasons. When the new testing regime was kind of rumored and made a little more available, he decided to re-enroll in school because that, you know, removed his COVID concerns. And then in turn, he had to pay back his agent that he'd signed with for any money that the agent had fronted for training and all those kinds of things. Once that was done, they applied for a waiver, and boom, suddenly Minnesota has their best offensive player, most exciting wide receiver, you know, athletically and forever, possibly ever. And it officially tipped me over the edge from, hey, okay, we got football, into super damn excited for football, which has been hard for me because COVID's, you know, a joy suck. Blake, do you actually see this as an automatic, like there's an extra win on the table or anything like this from Rashad Bateman? Or for you, does it just kind of more solidify the floor of what this team is capable of?
I really just don't see him making much of an impact this season.
All right, fuck you. Andy. Going to Andy. No, you lost your chance. What do you see from Rashad Bateman for his impact on the Gophers now that we officially know he's back?
Well, first, I'd just like to say, when I heard the news this morning, the first thing that popped into my head is the modern American poetry from one Marshall Mathers. Guess who's back? Back again. Bateman's okay, back.
I have to turn it back to Blake now.
You guys. Yeah, I was gonna say I think I should earn it back after that. That's just unacceptable.
All right, so let's recenter and refocus. So far, Blake has taken a truly exciting moment and run away with it. Makes no difference, and I mean, I'm not even gonna talk about what Andy did. I don't know. I'm just excited, guys. Like, this, seriously, this is legitimately the thing that moved me into being fully excited for football. Rashad Bateman is just that transcendent a player that watching him is so much damn fun. He's so damn fun to watch.
I will say that one of the most disappointing things when, like, they first announced, I mean, when he first decided to opt out and we had an inkling that maybe a season was going to happen. They hadn't canceled just yet, but we thought maybe there might be a season. The biggest thing was just we felt like, you know, if we felt like it was the right decision for him, we understood his reasons for it, but you just can't help but wonder, like, what if, like, we were robbed of a year of one of the best wide receivers in school history, and now that we get him back, it's just kind of like we get a second chance at having that special season with him. And, I mean, we'll get into a little bit later how his role in the offense, what the offense looks like for 2020, but, I mean, he obviously is a big boost to that offense. He's a former first-team All-Big-Ten, Big Ten receiver of the year. I think he was third-team All-American last year, and he's just a freak athlete, freak wide receiver. He's so good at everything. And I think he said himself he wanted to come back for a third year. He thought he could use another year of development before the NFL. And so I'm just excited to see what he can do, and I certainly feel a lot better about the receiver core, which – without him, was going to have to replace two first-team All Big Ten wide receivers, which is a tall task for any wide receiver core. And this wide receiver core, led by Chris Hubbin-Bell, has a lot of youth and inexperience too. And I think, obviously, having him back is really going to help that group.
Andy, for my part, I agree. Youth, depth is, I wouldn't say depth is a concern, but experience is certainly a concern in the wide receiver core. Andy, how do you feel knowing, you know, the skill set that this coaching staff, PJ Fleck, Matt Simon, how they do with developing wide receivers with a guaranteed anchor, a guaranteed talent like Rashad anchoring that core? Like, how does that make you feel as far as the ability to develop those younger receivers?
Well, I think it just gives them one more year of development. I mean, I think you'll still see some potential play either from redshirt freshmen or for true freshmen at some point this year, especially when they go three wide or even four wide sets. But I mean, just having Bateman back and making sure that, you know, in your typical 12 formation, you're going to have Bateman and Chris Ottman Bell on the field. And yeah, I mean, losing Tyler Johnson is a major loss, but we all sort of had confidence that we thought that Cab could step in and play a much more significant role this year. And he's going to obviously have his first crack to show off. But, you know, just realizing that you're going to have that stud on the other side. And even if Bateman, I mean, I think that what this really means is this should be a breakout year for Ottman Bell. Because, you know, Bateman's going to get all the attention. And they're going to force Ottman Bell, and they're going to force whoever the Gophers' third receiver is, whether that's Seth Green, whether that's a freshman like Douglas Emelin, whether that's Demetrius Douglas. Anybody Minnesota faces is going to say, all right, we're going to double the crap out of Rashad. You beat us with your other receivers. And I think, you know, they still do have a good crop of receivers, and they're going to get be able to step in and get more confidence and get more playing time, and hopefully it just sort of spreads out the riches, and obviously it's going to mean that there's going to be a lot more competition for those 3, 4, 5 spots than there might have been previously, but I think that's a good thing too.
I guess, Blake, who would you see as being this year's Rashad Bateman? And by that, I mean the young player who really steps out and makes an impact. I mean, I think Rashad was always expected. Maybe we don't have the same expectations for a freshman or a redshirt freshman that Rashad did when he kind of came on the scene 2 years ago. But who do you see kind of filling that role as being the younger guy who, in his first opportunity to really shine, shows off some athleticism and some talent?
Yeah, the two guys we keep hearing about from camp are the true freshmen, Daniel Jackson and Douglas Emelian. I don't know much about them. Obviously, I haven't seen them play. You know, practices are closed to media, so we only get to know what they want us to know. But it sounds like those two are the ones that are in competition for the wide receiver rotation. You hear, I think, Seth Green's in the rotation for that top three spot. But yeah, I'm excited to see what those two guys can do. And I mean, it's like you said before, it's not a lack of depth, it's a lack of experience. And I feel like Fleck and Matt Simon have a pretty good track record in terms of evaluating wide receivers and getting the guys in that they think can succeed in their offense. So I have faith that these guys can at least show some flashes of their potential this year. I certainly don't think anyone should come in expecting them to be another Rashad Bateman or another Tyler Johnson right now. But I think that they're going to have good years, I think, at least be contributors. I mean, they're going to have to be, because obviously Rashad's going to draw a lot of attention on defense, and Cab can only do so much. You really need three good receivers, kind of like the way Cab supported Tyler Johnson and Rashad Bateman last year and got his targets, got his touchdowns. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see who kind of blossoms as the season unfolds. But, yeah, I definitely think there's talent there, and I think it'll be one of those two true freshmen.
All right, expanding it outwards a little bit, kind of looking at the whole offense, I think our goal here is to kind of preview the whole offense, but what, Andy, is the, you know, maybe we've talked a bit about the wide receivers. Well, who besides the wide receiver, what position group has the most excitement for you on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, if we believe anything that PJ Fleck and Matt Simon and Mike Sanford have been saying for the last 6 months, it's got to be the tight ends. We all know that in the previous Gopher system, tight end was sort of an afterthought, and from everything we're hearing from everybody, Sanford has high plans to make the Gopher tight end a focus of the offense. So I think, we talking about who we think could be that third breakout receiver. It might not be a receiver. It could be Brevin Span Ford finally living up to the hype that he's had for the last 2 years and breaking out and becoming one of those, you know, Travis Kelce type, obviously not like Travis Kelce, but, you know, putting up that type of offensive receiving threat downfield as a tight end. You know, so I'll be kind of excited to see if they do get that involved, and hopefully Spanford or, you know, some of the other Gopher tight ends on the roster can take advantage of that. You know, I'm looking forward to a full year of Mo Ibrahim as the number one back. I think we know what we saw him as a true freshman 2 years ago. I think he's only improved, so I think he's going to be a strong number one for you. But obviously there's questions and who's going to step up and be the number two. You know, and then, you know, as we'll discuss in a little bit here, I think the offensive line has some questions. Just, you know, they return basically everybody, but it sounds like a couple of those returners might not play quite the same role they did a year ago. So that'll be something to watch. But if I had to pick one spot to potentially break out, I think it's definitely the tight end spot.
Blake, what portion of the offense kind of worries you the most?
Honestly, as Andy hinted at, it's the offensive line. And I know a lot of people are very excited about the offensive line coming in this season because we returned basically the six starters. I know there's five offensive line, but we basically had six starters last year. And obviously there's been some, I don't want to call it off-season turmoil, but it's just been an interesting off-season. And, you know, Curtis Dunlap, the starting right guard last year, entered the transfer portal for a day and came back in. You know, obviously he's dealing with some things that we don't know about. And obviously there's some uncertainty on the status of Daniel Falele, who came into spring camp in rough shape after recovering from his injury. And then he obviously missed spring camp as that got canceled. And, you know, his status is a little uncertain right now. So and that's the right side of your offensive line. And if you recall from last year, those first three games of the season, those non-conference games were very rough for the offensive line. There was a huge learning curve there, a lot of growing pains. Then they got into their bye week and they looked, you know, infinitely better against Purdue. But look at the season. There's no non-conference season. There's no bye weeks. I think the advantage is that there's a lot of upperclassmen. I mean, even if you take Dunlap and Flaley out of there, you've got a starting five of what I would assume would be John Michael Schmitz at center. He's an upperclassman. Connor Olson and Axel Rushmeyer at the guards, both upperclassmen. And then you've got Blaze Andres and Sam Schluter at the tack positions, both upperclassmen. So there's so much experience on that starting five. It's not a huge concern, but still you just worry about the offensive line gelling, especially when you're have guys kind of shuffling around. But, I mean, there's talent there. And then there's the concern, too, about depth, and this is kind of a recurring theme. But we just don't know what they have behind those starting five. I mean, I caution to say they don't have any depth because we just don't know. I mean, there's a lot of young guys with less experience, but they could be guys that are just, you know, obviously one step away from being a starter. But obviously we don't know what they have in those guys until they see the field. And obviously if they're seeing the field this season, it's not exactly probably ideal scenario with a starter injured. But yeah, I just think there's a potential for this offensive line to be really good. I think at the end of last season, they were probably one of the best in the Big Ten, but with an off season that's kind of shaped up to be a game of musical chairs, I just have a concern with how quickly they can gel and get to the point in the season where they're a really good functioning offensive line.
If you could make, I'll start with Andy on this one. If you could have one major change happen for this offense compared to last year, I'm not talking personnel. I'm talking schematic or somebody. I'm not talking personnel in terms of I guess what I'm really trying to get to is if you could have one major growth area happen or one major change happen schematically, what would do you think would make the biggest impact for this offense to improve over last season?
I mean, the offense last year, to be perfectly honest, was pretty damn good. So
exactly. So what if you had to tweak one thing? What would you take and improve Tanner Morgan's completion percentage even a little further? Would it be the emergence of a tight end receiving threat? Would it be, you know, more vertical pass? I don't know. Just, you know what I'm saying? Like, just if you could change one thing, what would you see kind of turning this offense from great to epic to elite? Fully elite.
I mean, I guess, you know, a little bit more explosivity in the running game. I mean, there were a couple times last year, I guess, where you could say the running game got slogged down a bit. And then obviously the Gophers made hay through the air. So they were able to overcome that, but I think that would be the thing that would be the best to see it a little bit more well-rounded would be, being able to run the ball a little bit better in times and be able to, not have to rely on Tanner Morgan hitting Bateman and Cab and others for, 30 completions a game. If that's what's going to happen, as long as the offensive lineman can keep Tanner clean, I have faith that if that's what needs to happen, that's what can happen.
Blake, I guess, when I look at the season, for me, it's you look at the two losses, a great season, 11-2, you look at the two losses and you can't help but feel that the Gophers were a little bit out-schemed in both those games. Wisconsin, they definitely... The Gophers never really adjusted to the press coverage that the Jim Leonard and the Badgers put on them as the game went on. Iowa kind of felt like it was more of a defensive problem at first, but at the same time, the offense never really got going either. They seemed to stick to a game plan that never really broke them out during the first half. Do you feel like there are opportunities for Sanford and Simon to learn from that and actually see changes, or do you think we're still in a position where it's a Kirk Shiraka, as long as we win by 1 point, we've won a game kind of offense?
And that's the big question, is how much is the offense going to change now that they've switched from Kirk Shiraka to co-coordinators Matt Simon and Mike Sanford, and obviously it's going to be a mending of the two, what they did previously, but also bringing in, obviously Fleck is bringing in Mike Sanford for a reason. He likes him as offensive coordinator, he likes his style, he likes the way he runs an offense, so obviously he's going to have some input, and it's going to be different. I definitely think there's room for improvement. As Andy said, the inside zone run plays last season were kind of hit or miss. They did really well attacking the edge in the outside zone, especially against Nebraska, which is a great example of that. But just the run game wasn't always there. And, in a game like Wisconsin, when Tanner's under so much pressure, they jam the wide receivers, they've got delayed blitzes from linebackers, and that's kind of Wisconsin's bread and butter, is to just attack, 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 and not give you any time to make those quick passes. You really have to be able to rely on the running game. And, Mo, to his credit, had some good runs in the second half last year, but they just couldn't do it with any consistency, and they just couldn't get the passing game going. So I just think it's going to be about establishing a better balance. And, obviously this is just speculation, because, I don't know how exactly the offense is going to be different. But, I guess I'm just curious to see if they're going to be more of a pass-heavy offense, run-heavy. To me, the biggest takeaway from Fleck this past 3 years is he's just very ball control, time of possession. We think of them as a quick-scoring team, but that's just because they've had explosive playmakers in Rashad Bateman and Tyler Johnson. But really, Fleck just wants to control the clock. He wants hold on to the ball and just wear teams down. And we just didn't see that a ton last year just because the passing game was so elite. I'm looking forward to seeing the running game take a step forward, because I've been very vocal about this, about that I'm bullish on this running back group. I think there's a lot of talent there that we just haven't seen yet. I know one of Fleck's favorite metaphors this season has been taking the lid off the jar, letting the grasshopper hop out with the seniors leaving and these younger guys stepping up. So I'm just looking forward to seeing who those Perrin and Spare are at running back, and how the running game can kind of evolve under Sanford.
I guess I would normally ask who your prediction for offensive MVP or something to that nature. But if you're answering anybody besides Rashad Bateman or Tanner Morgan, I feel like we're just,
we could do breakout player. I think there's, beyond those two, I think there's a lot of candidates for guys that haven't gotten a lot of attention before.
Okay, that's fair. So Andy, who's your breakout player? Your prediction for biggest breakout on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, I swear I'm not related to him, but I'm just going to stick with what I've ran with all podcasts. I'm going to say Brevin Spanford. I think he finally, if we get a new offensive set where we're going to feature the tight end passing downfield, I think Tanner Morgan's going to be able to take advantage of his size and his athletic ability and use him as a third wide receiver, and hopefully use him like we've been wanting a tight end in the back of the end zone to be used for the last 15 years.
Since what? Probably Spaeth?
Yeah, honestly.
Remember when we wanted Nate Wozniak, missed all 6'10", to be that red zone threat? I don't think he got a single I think he got one target in the red zone in his career, but...
Well, in Woz's defense, and you know I have a massive man crush for the Woz, I mean, he was very much a go-AU-fur type of tight end, which is to say not necessarily the strongest hands in the game for making catches.
There's a reason when the Saints put him on their practice squad, they switched him to tackle. Yes, but I'm going to go with the tight end because I think that's the most logical spot where we will see something different and we will see somebody break out. I think as Blake will probably predict, I think there whoever slides into that number three wide receiver spot will have a good chance, and or whoever fills that number two running back spot will have a good chance. My only problem is I think there's just too many candidates and we haven't seen anything, literally anything, since
January 1st, I mean, honestly, basically. Yeah.
So, I could pick one, but it would be basically all on rough speculation based on what's leaked out of the U of M camp and things like that. So,
which we know Blake is a big fan of. Everyone's having a good camp.
Everyone's having a great offseason, guys. It's going to be the best season ever.
So I'll just stick with it and say it's going to be Brevin Spanford who's going to develop into a strong number three option in the red zone for the Gophers.
Okay, Blake, your breakout candidate.
I'm going to go with Bryce Williams. I really like Mo Ibrahim, and a lot of people were kind of down on him, especially 2 years ago. They kind of thought his 1,000-yard season was a bit of a fluke, and I think he's great. But I really think Bryce Williams is that combination of power and speed that few others on the roster have. And I think they redshirted him last year for a reason. They knew they didn't just want to waste season with when they had Rodney Smith and Mo Ibrahim and Shannon Brooks. But I really think he is a special talent running back, and all he just needs is some more carries. And he showed some flashes his true freshman year of that playmaking ability, and I'm excited to see what he can do with some more carries. And I think he is going to possibly be the one that takes everyone by surprise at running back and has a really good year.
I just want to put a special plug myself. I would like to see them implement a tackle-eligible pass play to Daniel Falele. I don't know if the kid has hands of any kind, but I like tackle-eligible pass plays, and I demand PJ Fleck, Mark Sanford, and Matt Simon. I demand a tackle-eligible pass play to Daniel Falele.
We know he can carry it.
Exactly. He's already got his fridge touchdown. He's got his fridge running touchdown. I want a tackle-eligible pass play to him.
That could have been because his touchdown was in the spring game last year. I think this year, if we had gotten a spring game, that could have been the time to get him his touchdown. But maybe.
Well, now you can do it against Maryland or Illinois or somebody.
I'm all for it.
All right. Well, this is truly an exciting time, friends. We have Rashad Bateman back on the Gophers roster. We are now... Oh, goodness, 25 days away from college football, and that it actually includes the Big Ten. As if you've been watching any college football, I honestly have watched very little, but the little I watched included the Kansas State upset of Oklahoma. There is still magic to be found, even in these trying times of COVID, when it comes to college football. So, look for us to continue to preview the Gophers as we get closer. We'll do a little defensive preview as well as talking about any other exciting things that have happened in the past week next week. And then, I mean, after that, it's basically game week. It's basically time to talk Michigan. And it's weird to think of a season opening with Michigan, especially a season opening in late October with Michigan. But here we are. The oddity of this year continues, and with any luck, that means a little brown jug, makes its way in. Before we kind of close this edition of the pod, do either of you guys have any final thoughts you want to share?
I just have a question. This is following up on our pod from last week. Did either of you catch the season 4 premiere of Fargo?
I did not, but only because I'm kind of in a mode where I sort of feel like I'm going to give a couple episodes so I can binge a little bit. I've been binging all COVID, all quarantine, and it would feel weird to have to wait week to week, if I'm honest with you.
I mean, I'm definitely a week-to-week guy. That's what I grew up on, and I just kind of like, I've never been a big binge watcher. I like to let the episodes, this frustrates my wife when we watch shows together, because I cap it at most 2 or 3 episodes a day.
Really?
Yeah, because I just like to let the episodes marinate and just like let it, like, because I feel like I read a study somewhere that when you binge watch something, you retain less of it. So if you spread it out, you end up retaining more of it. And to me, that's been true of my experience. I feel like I enjoy it more when I wait week to week. So I don't mind that at all.
That, honestly, I could see that being true. Or at the very least, you might be able to better retain some detail, like when did something happen in order, kind of a thing. Yeah, I can see that. All right, well, so sorry, I can't give you an early thumbs up, thumbs down on this season, because I haven't seen any of it yet. But as I, you know, was clear to say in the pod last week, I'm a huge stan for Fargo, so I have very little worry that I'm gonna dislike the new season.
I like the premiere. It was a good setup. I mean, it wasn't like it blew me away or anything, but I'm excited to see where it goes.
Excellent. That keeps me excited then. All right, friends. Thank you again for joining us for this week's edition of the SkyU podcast. Stay safe. Keep washing those hands. Keep your mask on, because if you don't and you let things get out of control like the state of Wisconsin, you may screw up football. And I'm officially excited for football now, which means I will shake my fist at you. In the meantime, go Gophers. Sky Yuma, row the boat.